Welcome to the Holistic Lifestyle Co. podcast with your host, that's me, Stephanie. Here we unravel the world of wellness together, taking a 360 degree approach to holistic health, while taking a few detours into my personal journey and holistic health work along the way. As a holistic lifestyle coach, massage therapist, yoga and meditation teacher, as well as a fellow messy, chaotic human, there's quite a lot to explore. Let's get started. Back with you. I feel like I've had absolutely ages between episode 2 and this episode 3. Each time I try to record, well, there was one time when the dogs were being extra needy, and it was just kind of constant dogs coming in, scratching at the door, barking, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's not working right now, let's just wait. And then another time when down in Cornwall we had a lot of hail the other week, and so there's like in the spare room, which I kind of use as an office room, there's basically a skylight. So the window is sort of in the roof, I guess. And so the hail on the roof was so loud. It's literally all the microphone was picking up. So, you know, go with the flow. Here we are. Episode 3. Thank you for sticking around and bearing with me for that little interlude in between. Oh, well, how are you doing? I want to take a moment to pause and really ask yourself, how are you doing in this moment, here and now? I want to see if you can let go of the story that the mind weaves, all of those chattering responses that bubble through from the mind, everything like, oh, I'm feeling like this because this has been happening lately and this morning this happened. Let go of the story. Take a breath, exhale, and just trickle that energy out of your mind back into your body. Take another breath, sigh it out, come home to your body. And just take a moment to listen to what response bubbles up. How are you? Just hold space and listen. Listen to what bubbles up to the surface for you. Sometimes we forget to check in with ourselves. Sometimes we go months without checking in with ourselves. I mean, some people probably have never checked in. Every day, someone at some point will be like, hey, how are you doing? How are you? And you'll be like, yeah, good. Good, thanks. How are you? And the question doesn't even go any deeper. It's like in one ear and out the other. We don't even allow it to land and actually think about, oh, they've asked how I am. How am I? And yeah, we might feel we don't want to burden people with how we're doing, but at the same time, we don't even acknowledge the answer ourselves. We don't even acknowledge the real response. And then if we choose to sugarcoat it for the person, fine, but we don't acknowledge how we are doing. And so I thought I'd just open with that. And then I'll let you know, how am I doing? Oh, I'm feeling pretty good today. I have just finished massaging my Energy Heal massage clients for the day. It is Friday night, and ahead of me, I have a evening in with the dogs, which will be lovely. Wild Fridays. So yeah, I'm just finishing massaging clients. The past few days, I was back up in the Midlands in Leicestershire, massaging my old clients, who I go back to and massage every couple of months. So yeah, I take it's a 6-hour drive up there, and then I massage my clients for like, you know, about 3 days, seeing clients in sessions, and then I do the long drive back. And yeah, it's a bit of a drive, but I absolutely love it because I absolutely love the Energy Heal massages. It's working with the chakras, the meridians, and it's very deep tissue. So working with the physical body as well. So I really enjoy that. And I feel incredibly lucky to be doing a job that actually does fill my cup up. Like, I feel full and energized at the end of a day. Sometimes physically exhausted because, you know, it's quite intense. But at the end of each day, I actually feel like I look forward to the next day. And that's pretty special. That's pretty wonderful. You know, we should all be living a life in which we don't dread the next day, whether it's a working day or not. We should all be living a life that feels like we are living in joy. Like, you know, when we say, like, you know, enjoy, like, oh, enjoy. think about it. Enjoy, living in joy. And that's where we should be. Of course, we can't be in joy constantly, 100% of the time, but every day we should be in joy, at least for a few moments. Which is why I thought I'd ask, how are you doing? When did you last feel joy in your life? So I feel that we are on the cusp of spring, which you wouldn't really know it by the weather. I've just talked about the hailstorms that we've had down here. But it's certainly lighter in the mornings. This morning I woke up and I needed to kind of rush off to teach my yoga class. And I woke up and I could see the sun like coming through the blind. And I had a panic. I was like, oh my goodness, it must be like 10 a.m. or something. Look how bright it is. And it was not. It was about 7 a.m. It was just beautifully light and bright, which is wonderful. It's so beautiful to have these lighter mornings. And to see the sun a little more often and to see a bit of blue in the sky. You know, the blue stuff is back. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to spring. This is relevant because you know how the past couple of months, the past few seasons, really the couple of seasons, we've had autumn and winter, which are incredibly yin seasons. The autumn, we see a shift towards the yin, the slowing down, the calling our energy home, the going within, the wanting to hibernate, step away from the world and cocoon ourselves at home with soft, fluffy blankets and candles, and having those cozy evenings in, maybe with a fire on or, you know, hot chocolate, whatever it might be. And then, of course, winter, the depths of yin, the depths of cocooning and hibernating. And as we move into spring, we start to see a shift towards that yang energy once again. We see the sun sticking with us for longer. The sun is our symbol, universal symbol of yang. It is the source of yang energy. It's that going, get up, let's go do, let's go seize the day. We feel a bit more social. We want to be out there a bit more. It's the vitamin D returning to us that energizes us, but also it is that yang energy from the sun. It's very masculine. It's very go, 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 let's get out there. And we see this with the shift. We see everything sort of beginning to burst into life as the sun returns and things begin to warm and the daylight's longer. We've got daffodils popping up. We've got lambs. You know, spring is on its way. And so with this shift towards the yang seasons, it can feel like, okay, you know what? The start of the year, new year, when we felt like we were maybe meant to be setting New Year's resolutions and intentions and plans for the year, it can feel pretty unnatural for many of us because it's like, okay, new year, let's go, let's set intentions, let's get on it, let's be the best version of ourselves. And it's cold and it's dark, and actually we're still in the depths of yin, wanting to go within and cocoon and hide away. And so it's not a particularly natural time to start to plan the sort of person we want to be this year and, you know, all these new rituals and habits we want to bring in. This, however, the turn of the season, stepping into spring, is the most beautiful time to start to set those intentions, to think about what you'd like for this coming year, you know, the rest of the year ahead of us. And we've got like 9 months ahead of us, really. Depends on when you're listening to this, I suppose. But thinking about the sort of person you want to be for the rest of the year, what sort of habits you want to call in, what you'd like to let go of, and what rituals help to ground you and center you at the start of each day so that you can start the day mindful, in that energy of the person you want to be. And so it really feels like a natural time to have a sit down and set some goals, set some intentions as we move into spring. At the start of the year, what I found was, I mean, nothing's ever an extreme. You know, I saw a lot on Instagram of people saying, I'm not setting any intentions, I'm in my yin. And I felt that too. But nothing's either an extreme. We're never fully in a yin or fully in a yang. Because if you think about it, think of that yin yang symbol, you know the one, the black teardrop with the white dot in it, sort of married into the white teardrop with the black dot in it. The black teardrop, the yin side, has and always has that little white circle there, because it is never a complete extreme. And the same with the yang, the white side. Now, of course, if we think about the yin and the yang, the way that we can live in energetic flow, this is something that I talk about, teach about, and live by a lot. I like to work with the energies of yin and yang, a lot of that Chinese philosophy based on these energies. The start of the year, I felt like I was 70% in my yin, and of course 30% in my yang, which is kind of exactly the that yin side of the teardrop. It's about 70% of it is the black teardrop and about 30% of that white circle. And so I did feel a little bit of that energy of, right, I want to start setting intentions. I want to get going. It's a new year. I'm excited because I actually love that turn of the year. I love New Year. I think it is special to celebrate. It's special because, you know, not everyone gets to wake up to a new year. Not everyone, you know, makes it to 2024. And I think it's always important to celebrate, whether it's just a new day, a new year, a new birthday. It's always important to mark these special milestones in life. So anyway, I digress. I felt about 70% in the yin. And so I thought, okay, well, it's not a time to set all those intentions, but I am going to, instead of thinking about all the big things that I want for the year, I'm going to start with just some smaller rituals to get me going. You know, it might be making sure I'm getting out and getting in nature every single day, even if it's just for a sort of 15-minute walk, even if it's windy, embrace it all. You know, cooking way more from scratch at home, even like making my own hummus, just saying, super simple, can't believe it. Very proud of myself because I've never really been into cooking. I've actually seen it as, you know, an absolute task and effort in the past. So I set myself the intention of just drawing in a few little things, thinking of, you know, a few little things that will help me to set myself up for a wonderful year, but without having to think too big. But now we're coming into spring. I have felt a shift. I am now feeling 70% yang and about 30% yin. And again, they're not extremes. There are days when I want to withdraw from the world and chill at home and not do a lot whatsoever. And maybe even clear my diary and just do nothing that day. Certainly I noticed that, you know, a few days before my bleed time, I noticed it on day one, day two, absolutely, but more, you know, not, it's not just tied to hormones and cycle. It's that feeling of, okay, we're slowly coming into that yang energy now. There's a little bit of yin still there, but taking our time, feeling in a good balance right now. So I am ready to start thinking about, okay, the rest of the year, what do I want to achieve? What are the big things? What do I want to do? Let me look at those big goals and then let me start to look at the baby steps to get to them. It's a lot to say, right, that's what I want to achieve, and then think, how do I do it? We need to break things down into baby steps. So I'm at that point right now, plotting that. I have, every new year, I hold a new year rituals ceremony. It's letting go of the old year and welcoming in the new. And it's always a live online session ceremony. It's always recorded, so actually it's a great time to do that at New Year, but also as we turn the seasons now into this yang, this springtime. That's actually on my website, my online yoga studio, which you can go and access. The first month's completely free. The code is in my Instagram bio. But yeah, that's on my holisticlifestyleco.com website. And yeah, you can absolutely have a go at that if you want to. It's about an hour long. Set yourself an hour and a half, because there's moments where you want to pause and you want to journal and write down some ideas. So yeah, that's how I'm feeling at the moment. That is a long response to the how are you that we began with. I'm aware, but so. It's all good. Right, if we cast our minds back to session 2, episode 2. I'm so used to being a holistic lifestyle coach. Episode 2 of this podcast, I touched on a little bit on the chakras, the energy centers through the body. And I touched on very slightly that we have actual chakras that move sort of linear, left to right, beyond the physical body as well. Now, I wanted to just bring our awareness back to this and talk about the chakras a little bit, because there's something on which I talk and teach a lot about in my yoga classes, online and in person, meditations. I work specifically with the chakras in my energy heal massages. I think they're incredible. They're very important to understand and to learn and live by. We have 7 main energy centers, main chakras that run through the body. We have one at the base of the spine, and they move all the way up, one stacked on top of the other, and we have the highest vibrating chakra at the crown of the head. It actually hovers just above the crown of your head, to be honest, just above and beyond, which is a beautiful nod and a reminder that you are more than this physical body. You are so much more than this, this physical body of muscle and bone. And so, yeah, that final chakra actually hovers just above the crown of your head. How beautiful. And these chakras we can work with in this lifetime, here and now. They carry, they move, they shift our emotions, the energy and the vibrational frequency of those emotions. Think of the word emotion. If you wrote it down, E-motion. The E is energy, emotion. Energy in motion. So our emotions flow and twist and turn, vibrate and move through, and sometimes are suppressed and stored and blocked in these chakras, these 7 main energy centers through the body. They are, those chakras, those energy centers that we can work with and understand and breathe and feel into and balance in this lifetime. The ones a little bit more linear that go off to the sides, to the left and the right, sort of running horizontally, I suppose, beyond the body, they are not really worked with. They're not really worked with in yoga. I don't work them with them in yoga. I talk through them a little bit in my meditation teachings and my meditation teacher training courses. But they're not ones that we want to faff with, really. In this lifetime, because they are the ones that transcend like time and space dimension. And so, of course, if we're meditating, we can lightly tap into these via the crown chakra. Think about it. So it's a bit like a triangle, like a pyramid, this. We can lightly tap into them. And that's what I was talking about last time, when that state which I explained between awake and asleep, which for me was, it happened to be the time in which my granddad passed away, when I was just drifting, I guess, between awake and asleep. And that's where our brain waves begin to shift and we start to get beyond the ego, that sense of self, the prefrontal cortex in the brain, thinking mind, even beyond the subconscious, the back of the brain, where the programming, the old habits are stored, all of that. And we start to shift through our brain waves. And then it allows us to sort of transcend this time and space, which is why our dreams are never really normally in the present. Sometimes they're based in the past, the future. Sometimes they're completely made up and they're not rooted in any sort of present moment or space. So having that sort of even vague understanding, I suppose, of how we can tap into places, times even, beyond here and now, how we can kind of connect, I suppose, with people after passing on. It's to do with these chakras. So I wanted to just touch on that. I wanted to just explain that because I mentioned it a little bit last time. And like I say, I work with the chakras a lot in my work and I live by them. So it was kind of from there where I started to, and this was over years, gaining an understanding and a learning. I started to learn, I started to understand, I started to study all of this energy work, all of the energy body work that I work with and talk about, like I am right now. And a lot of people ask me, like, okay, well, tell me some books, tell me some podcasts, or whatever it might be. And I find it really difficult because there's some really good books out there, but maybe I haven't found them. A lot of the learning and understanding that comes through, and that I work with and teach, a lot of it actually comes from sitting and tapping into the sort of depths of meditation and just seeing what comes through when we get out of the thinking mind, when we allow ourselves to very much transcend here and now. And some people refer to this as, like, having a download, an energetic download, or whatever it might be. I try not to. I don't know why. It just feels a bit buzzwordy to me. It's like there's so much that goes on with, like, sort of spiritual ego and, like, oh, I've had a download, da da da. I just don't like it, so I don't call it that. But it is really that place where we can get out of the thinking mind and allow ourselves to open up to all that is beyond here and now. If we can meditate and draw our energy up towards the third eye chakra and the crown chakra, the highest vibrating chakras for us out of those seven main chakras through the body. The crown chakra is sort of known to be almost an antenna to the cosmos, to the universe, to everything beyond the thinking mind that you possess, that, knows only the learnt behaviors from this lifetime, this journey. It allows us, if we can meditate and draw our energy upwards, to actually access information that maybe we haven't yet tapped into or learnt in this time and space. And that's the only way I can describe where a lot of my teachings come from. And even when I'm teaching meditation, it's quite rare that I will plan a meditation and a topic and think, right, I'm going to talk through this. Sometimes I absolutely will. But sometimes I will sit and I will guide the meditation, but I will also kind of be meditating, dropping into it, and I will see what needs to come through and let that information flow. My meditations are quite deep in terms of teaching, and teaching topics, understandings, kind of stuff like this, I guess. Stuff with the chakras, so many different topics, and I like to kind of talk and allow you to not just relax and have a chill out in a meditation, but to take away some new information, some depth of understanding about how the energy works, how the universe speaks through us. Goodness, the world's your oyster. There's so many different topics, and again, most of them are on the online space, on my online studio, if you actually want to check any out. But yeah, I think it's important to kind of allow ourselves to sometimes take some time to just to sit and get out of our head and to just open ourselves up to that connection beyond this time and space, beyond here and now, and see what wants to move through us. Now, often, if we look at those seven main chakras, in order to move upwards, to connect to those higher vibrating chakras, like I say, the third eye chakra, the crown chakra. In order for us to go up and transcend this time and space and tap into universal consciousness, whatever it may be, to get to real depths of meditation, we have to go down first. We have to go to those lower chakras, the ones that are more in the hips, the base of the spine, even the tummy, Manipura chakra, the ones that carry a lot of our emotions from this journey and this lifetime. Often we can store so much stuff, so much stagnant energy in our energy body, and it can very often, we're holding it for a long time and storing it and suppressing emotion, it will start to speak to you through physical symptoms. The first being often locked up tension and tightness in the body, which is where my massage work comes in. I read the energy body first, I read the chakras, I see where any blockages are, so I know, okay, where are we holding physical tension? And then I go in and start to take some of that physical tension out of the body through deep tissue massage and letting that energy flow. So it's quite an emotional release as well as physical one. So when I'm kind of teaching meditation, when I'm running even the meditation teacher training courses, It is so important that we do that work, we pause and we say, how are you? Speaking to ourselves, how am I feeling? How am I doing? And we get used to checking in and seeing, what am I holding? What am I carrying? What have I suppressed? What have I pushed through those layers? What am I holding in my body? Your body is not a place to carry heavy emotion. It is not. Your body is a place for emotion to shift through, move through. Sometimes we feel angry and we want to scream and shout. Sometimes we feel tearful and we want to cry. Sometimes we feel amazing, we want to laugh and dance. Your body is wonderful at moving energy, emotions, and that vibration through the body. But it's when we suppress it that we start to push it down and start to block up some of these energy centers. And so, in order for us to carry our energy up to those highest chakras, we need to go down and clear through the lower chakras first. Anything that's blocked, anything that's stuck, the stuff that keeps us small, holds us back, self-doubts, limiting beliefs, all of that stuff. So you see how this is all starting to link in. I started today's episode with asking you, how are you feeling, and inviting you to really tap into that. How are you? And that's exactly what I'm saying. To do the work and to start to feel like, yeah, I want to meditate, I want to get really good, I want to transcend my energy and lift my vibration. First, we need to go low into those lower frequencies and we need to see, okay, what do I need to move through? What have I been hiding from? Looking into those blind spots that we sometimes can't see. I've started a new little section on my online yoga studio on my website, which is, well, it's called Holistic Lifestyle Coaching. And it's kind of like the coaching. It's a lot of the tools and the methods I use with my one-to-one clients, but it's all there in video form. It's accessible. And we start to do this work, this journey together. I just launched it. So there's a couple up there already, but I keep adding to them. So that library will grow and grow. And you take your time working through it in your own time, but it helps us to do this. It helps us to kind of dig deep, work through the stuff. There's different tools, practices. You get quite creative, like, you know, you want pen and paper and crayons with some of it. So I am all about doing the work, going down into the shadow work before we can transcend and start to tap into that which is beyond us. And I think, again, going back to episode 2, where I talked about that journey, and for me, that healing that started with that night that my granddad died, kind of came through. And of course, what went from there was me being able to start to really shift and release all of that heaviness that I had been carrying. You know, I talked a huge amount about feeling so incredibly low and depressed. All of that emotion that was in my body, I don't know where it was from. Like I say, there was no experience, there was no heaviness that I went through, you know, in my life so far to this point that's been incredibly heavy. And so who knows? Some people might say, hey, you know, past lifetimes. I haven't done enough looking into past lifetimes and, you know, past life regressions that people talk about. It's not really my area. I haven't really looked into it. I'm open to that idea. Maybe that's where it was all coming from for me. I don't know. Some people, you know, say, oh, sometimes you have a really traumatic birth when we're born and we hold that. Again, I have no idea. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter to me at this point, because I guess what was kickstarted that night that he passed over, was me starting to be able to shift and deal with and heal from all of this. And it was kind of like, I feel like I downloaded the tools I needed that night. So as I said before, I would drop sometimes in just to the floor, which I now know is like child's pose. That's what I would be laying in. Child's pose is incredible, because as you lay in child's pose, you're opening up your heart chakra and laying it down onto the earth. And you're doing the same with the hips, the second chakra known as Swadhisthana, the hips, the pelvis region. And so you're opening into those energy centers, laying them on the earth, allowing the front of you, the very vulnerable space energetically, to be laying on the earth. And with each sort of exhale, because I would cry and cry and just make noises in this child's pose on the floor. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what yoga was then. But you're opening these energy centers and you're breathing down and releasing that sound and that vibration into the earth below. And think about lightning, high energy, high vibrational charge streaking through the sky. And we use grounding rods to ground that energy back into the earth, to make it safe, to make it neutral, to zero point it. And it's the same with our emotions, our energy. You've heard people say, you know, you have to ground yourself. You have to put your bare feet on the earth. And yeah, it grounds you. It calms us. It literally takes the heavy vibrational frequency out of the body and dumps it into the earth, which takes it to zero point, neutral. And so that's what a child's pose is, incredibly calming and healing. You know, children might have a tantrum and drop into child's pose on the floor and then fall asleep because it's so soothing. Think of you seeing children sort of sleeping in a cot in child's pose as well. And Shavasana, we lay on the earth to allow our energy to settle and to ground and breathe away anything heavy. So I feel that night I sort of downloaded a lot of tools to start to shed and let go of all the heavy emotion in my body. And it took a while to shift it all. I didn't know what I was doing. Looking back, I can see that's what I was doing. Looking back, I can see it was a shifting of energy. But yeah, it shifted. And I suppose that cleared those energy channels so that when I then began to meditate, which again, wasn't a conscious choice. I would simply, meditation I found before I found yoga. And again, I didn't know what it was, just sitting in that stillness, that peace, switching off the mind, and feeling as though my energy was sort of, without sounding a bit woo-woo, was just sort of transcending here and now, feeling like I was connected to so much more than just my mind and my physical body. It's almost, you get in a deep, deep meditation, which you may well know, and it might be different for you, you get this overwhelming feeling of unconditional love. And for me, it's like merging into the entire universe, becoming one, like losing the physical body completely and the sense of I, the ego, and just merging into that. It's becoming one with everything. And for me, that's what I would get when I would sit in stillness, which I now know I was sitting in meditation. And that's still why meditation is my favorite thing. That is why I class myself as a meditation teacher before anything else. That's why I run the meditation teacher training courses. For me, meditation is the returning to unconditional love. It is the returning and recognizing that we are the entire universe. As Rumi says, in one drop. You are the whole ocean in one drop. And we just are sort of dressed up in, you know, clothes and a human body with a thinking mind. And that disguises and makes us forget that we are the whole universe, we're all of it, and we're all connected. We are all just separate drops of that one big ocean, walking around in outfits with busy minds, sort of as a disguise. And so, yeah, it's about that. It's about clearing through the stuff we hold before we can transcend up and tap into that. And this is important because a lot of the time when we're trying to meditate, we're trying to empty the mind and we're trying to connect to something beyond ourselves. Sometimes we can do it. You know, you might have had wonderful experiences with it. But often we can sit and try and meditate and feel like we're failing or feel like, oh, I can't quieten the mind. And sometimes we just need to go deep and work through that shadow stuff and see what else we're carrying, what else we're holding. You might be familiar with you know, ideas of Kundalini yoga. You might not, this might be the first you're hearing of it, which is fine, but Kundalini yoga works with the idea, the theory, because I suppose that's what it is, that and it's described as a snake rising energy, that Kundalini rising energy, and it rises from the base of the spine, the root chakra, Muladhara, which is called, and it rises through each chakra, spiraling its way all the way up until it reaches and transcends up and out through the top of our head into the crown chakra, which allows us to connect with the entire universe and merge into it once again. And so that Kundalini rising energy, it has to rise from the base of the spine up through each chakra in turn, and we have to clear away whatever's holding us back down there in those lower, more emotional chakras, the experiences, the suppressed emotion, all of it. And so, yeah, it always starts at the base of the spine. The root chakra, the base of the spine, Muladhara, that's actually the first chakra that develops. It develops actually when we're still in the womb space. It's a teeny baby. It's the first one. It's because it's to do with our basic survival instinct. It's feeling safe and held. It's feeling our basic needs are met, like, you know, having food and water and warmth and safety. Feeling like we belong, you know, that connection when we're born to mother, that skin-on-skin contact that allows us to feel rooted in that root chakra. If that kind of develops without any disruption and blockage, then of course we have a flow moving to the second chakra, the emotional chakras. And so, yeah, it's actually all starts at the root, the base of the spine. It all starts that. So, gosh, today's going on a little philosophical route, isn't it? But I didn't really plan massively what we were going to talk through, but I knew that from episode 2, I mentioned that I will come back to the chakras and explain them a little bit and talk through them. What I'm going to do is ask you to let me know if it's useful, if it's enjoyable to learn about these bits and we talk about them. I mean, they're my like absolute passion. So yeah, I've kind of wanted to dig deep and go through the chakras a little bit, sort of from the off, from the first episode. I thought, right, we'll come to this. In order for me to explain and talk about all the things that, like I say, I'm working with this time and space, my own work with clients, massage, and what I do in my own life, because of course I practice what I preach, I live all of this stuff. I kind of wanted you to have an understanding of the energy body, because I refer to it a lot. And so it's very hard for me to tell my story and talk on here without bringing you guys on the journey and getting you up to date with what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the energies and the chakras and the emotions. So yeah, there we have it. I'm going to leave episode 3 just here. And invite you to please do get in touch. Let me know if it's useful. If you want me to still go, you know, this much in depth with the information, because I like to teach this stuff. I love it. I love to talk about it. I think it's incredibly important that we all have this understanding. It helps us to navigate our life. I mean, goodness, if we think our emotions are just something that run through our mind and we always try and suppress stuff and think, oh, I'll just put it to the back of my mind. We end up sort of carrying this stuff in our bodies and it holds us back. And if we don't know how, if we don't have the tools, how on earth are we going to connect to ourselves, live the life that we are so worthy of, live the most wonderful life if we don't know how the emotions, the energies move through our body? So there we have it. You're perhaps getting to see now how I love to ramble and go on tangents, but so can't change that. It is how I am. I hope you've managed to follow this to this point. Thank you again for tuning in. Absolutely wonderful to go on this journey with you. Again, how are you doing? Please remember to check in with yourself every single day, at least once. You are so worth spending a minute on in the morning and checking in. You are so, so worth holding space for. So please remember that. Thank you. I will see you soon.